I'm sure most of you have heard the expression about how sometimes people have to take a leap of faith. Another word for a leap is a jump. And I'm here today to say that sometimes, and I think this is a living, live word for some of us, you know that you know that you know. God is getting you ready for something. But I'm here today to say, before you take a jump, actually God prepares you and you can see evidence of it in your life. And so I'm going to look today at something I'm calling the Joppa jump. And we're going to look at someone in the New Testament, someone in the Old Testament, who took a jump, but they took a jump in a place called Joppa. And one jumped the right way, and the other guy jumped the wrong way. And I'm going to encourage us all here that when we know God is calling us to make a call and make a decision, that we do it the right way and not the wrong way. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, we're going to be looking at Jonah 1 and Acts 9. But before we do, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit brings the written word of the Bible and it comes alive for you. This is God's love letter to you. You might say, I'm a man, I don't take love letters from any fella. God is beyond gender. God is our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And this Bible, it's God speaking to us. And it's not just knowledge. Sometimes it comes alive and it prophetically speaks to us in our everyday situation. So I want to pray that everyone here would have an open heart and an open mind to hear what God wants to say. Maybe not what I have to say, but what God is going to say through the word. So if you're up for it, I'm going to disturb you and ask you, would you mind standing one more time? And join me in prayer. And I pray in Jesus' name that everyone here, that our hearts would be open, would say amen.
Amen.
And that our minds would be open, amen.
Amen.
And oh God, whatever is from you in the Bible that you want to speak to us today, I pray we would hear it.
Amen.
And whatever is not from you, if it's just from me, I pray we'd soon forget it. But let your word take root in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. And again, welcome to everyone watching on Facebook, Instagram, listening on podcast, and watching on YouTube as well. So what does Joppa mean? Well, Joppa was a town. You can see it here on the map of Israel. There's Joppa. It means beautiful. If you're down the back, you can see it over here. Joppa is on the Mediterranean coast, a beautiful beach there. There's Joppa. And Joppa today is known as Jaffa, just like the oranges. And it's a suburb of the modern city of Tel Aviv, a beautiful Mediterranean place. And this is where two guys made a decision. Both of the decisions was God saying, go beyond your comfort zone, move out to an area that you're not normally in. I speak metaphorically as well. And they both make a decision. So let's look at Acts 9 and see what the jump in Joppa was like. We're told Peter, he was one of the leaders of the early church, he traveled in the land and he visited the believers at a place called Lydda. So there's Lydda, just below Joppa. It's the modern day city of Lod in Israel. It's a city that's 50-50 Arab and Jewish, and there was huge riots and fighting there about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Anyway, back then it was called Lydda, and there Peter met a man named Aeneas, and he was bedridden and paralyzed for 8 years. God help that poor man. God help him. 8 years. He couldn't get up. And Peter met him, and he said, he declared, moved by the Holy Spirit, In Aeneas, Jesus heals you, rise up and make your bed. And immediately Aeneas rose up, he was healed, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. He was so well known as a man in terrible situation that the fact that he could walk, everyone knew this had to be God. And so loads of people decided to follow Jesus because of this miracle. It goes on. And it says a little later, now at Joppa, the nearby town, there was a disciple called Tabitha, or Dorcas, she was also known as. This lady was full of good works and acts of kindness. However, she became ill and she died. But the believers sent for Peter, and he kneeled down next to the body and he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes and she rose up. And again, many believed in Jesus all over Joppa. I just feel prophetically God is saying something here. This is just right now. It didn't happen at the early service. The woman was dead. There was no hope. But the believers had hope.
Amen.
There's someone here, and the person you're praying for, it's like they're dead. And your hope is dead with it. And I know God is saying to you, you're wrong. I will raise that person from the dead.
Amen.
Figuratively. You think there's no hope, but God is all powerful. If that's you, I'm not going to call you up, but I'm going to ask you to stand. I know everyone is sitting, but if that's you, stand. Because I've been there, okay? I see you standing. Okay, just stand. Fair juice to you. Praise God. It takes humility and courage to stand. I pray, just lift your hands, guys. I pray in the name of Jesus that what looks dead to you right now, that God would raise that person from their dead situation. Whether they're dead in their trespass and sin, dead in the hardness of their heart, dead as it were in your life. Oh God, send your resurrection power. And would you give hope and faith to my brothers and sisters in Jesus' mighty name. God's people said.
Amen.
These people deserve a round of applause. That really takes courage and humility. You don't see that every day. But I know what it's like. I've been there myself. It's like again and again and again, nothing is happening. The Bible says hope deferred can make the heart sick. And sometimes your heart and my heart get sick. That's when we need Jesus even more. Amen?
Amen.
And we call on him and he moves. So Dorcas or Tabitha could have just stayed dead, but because of the believers, they send for Peter and she's raised to life. Now that is the God of the New Testament. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's get a bit of context. We're told that Peter traveled the land, visiting the believers from place to place, including Lydda, Sharon, and Joppa. Now, if you will, he took his rucksack and he started visiting. That's kind of a nothing verse. It doesn't mean an awful lot to us until we understand the context. Because we know that shortly before this, a terrible persecution broke out in Jerusalem. And we're told in the previous chapter, Acts 8:1, all the believers ran or fled from Jerusalem. They fled away from it. Except the apostles. And Peter was one of the apostles. And I'm here today to say that something began to change in Peter. While the Bible is silent about why the apostles stayed, most commentators believe that there was such a Jewish tradition in them that they kind of felt, well, it's only Jerusalem really where something can happen. And if you look into it historically, and this is just history, it's not the Bible, so take it in that light. Some of the other apostles, like James and so on, they stayed in Jerusalem because the tradition thing was bigger in them. But there was something in the heart and in the soul and in the belly of Peter that he knew. I need to leave here because God is doing something outside of this experience. So Peter, traveling around all these places, don't just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. This is powerful. This shows that God was preparing Peter's heart for something greater. And as we know, he went to Joppa. The believers urged him to pray for Tabitha there. And he said to her, Tabitha, rise up. She opened her eyes and Peter helped her up. With this miracle and with the previous one, Peter is exactly keeping to the rhythm and the pattern of how his Savior and our Savior, Jesus Christ, healed people. Remember Jesus with a number of guys who were crippled. He looked at them and he said, you're healed, take up your bed and walk. So how Peter did the miracle in the name of Jesus in the previous town of Lydda, and then here, this is exactly how Jesus healed, for example, the little girl Jairus' daughter. Everyone was weeping in the room. He put them out and he called her name and he told her to rise up. Peter, if you read into it here, all the women in the church were crying. They were showing Peter all the gifts or the crafts this woman had done for them. And he put them out. And then he did exactly what Jesus did. He knelt down and he said, rise up, Tabitha. You know, sometimes decent, good Christians are so overcome with grief. If you want a bit of faith, it's like you just have to put them out of the situation. Because God might be going to do something greater. And it's the same. Sometimes grief can be so overpowering, it can stop the move of the Holy Spirit. There's a place for grief. It is so legitimate. But if God wants to do a miracle, and God wants to use you to do a miracle, who, me? Yes, you. He's no respecter of people. You can be a woman and God can do a miracle through you just as much through a man. The only thing is, if you're a bald man, you've got an extra anointing on you, so I can't do anything about that. Wherever you are, whoever you're at, if you love Jesus, God can do a miracle through you. But just sometimes we need to put aside those who are overcome with grief. We need to get on our own with the situation or with the person and pray the miracle in. And that's what Peter does. And of course, every time God moves, if it's from God, there is fruit. By the fruit you will know. What was the fruit? News of this healing from the dead spread all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Sometimes people criticize churches and ministry, and you know what? I've very little time for that. I want to see the fruit. Are people being born again? That's fruit. You have a whole load of ditch hurlers, that's an expression there, just sitting on the fence criticizing him and her and them. You know what? You show me all the people becoming Christians with your ministry. Because nobody has a ministry of criticism, but I'm in the watchtower of the Lord. Get out of that. Where'd you come up with that thing? One obscure verse taken out of context. There will always be fruit. Show me salvation. Show me restoration. Show me changed lives. Show me healing. Now that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So things are going great. And then Peter decides to stay in Joppa. And we're told he stayed there many days with Simon, who was a tanner. This is not something we're familiar with in Ireland today. You can go to places like Morocco and you can still see it. But this is really significant. Because Peter deciding to stay in this house says an awful lot about how God prepares your heart and my heart when he's going to do something new. You see, Simon the tanner is someone we can't just skip over. The Jewish attitudes to tanners were, if they read that Peter was staying with a tanner, any religious Jew would have been shocked. They would never listen to Peter again. They would write him off as a crazy man because nobody would choose to live with a tanner. They were regarded as unclean. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all agreed that a tanner was unclean because he worked with dead animals. A tanner is someone who scrapes the body parts off the skin or the hide of an animal, cleanses it and makes it into, as you can see in the photograph there, leather and hides and so on. But they were unclean. They were not part of the establishment. They were outside of what was acceptable. We know that under Jewish law, a tanner could not live in a town. He had to be at least 25 meters away from the town or the village. No one wanted to go and stay in the tanner's house. In fact, they found it very difficult to find a wife, no matter how handsome or charming they were. They ended up marrying other tanner's daughters. It was so much a thing that if a girl was engaged or legally betrothed, which was a big thing back then, it was almost like a marriage, and she didn't know the man she was betrothed or engaged to was a tanner, she could automatically declare it null and void if she said, "I've just discovered he was a tanner." And as soon as she'd say that, all of the priests and the Pharisees and so on would go, "Oh my goodness me, you poor girl, it's over, it's out." No one wanted to hang out with these people. You see, this is something of the early Christian church. We've got the tanners, we've got the prostitutes, we've got the lepers, we've got the tax collectors, these people who were not part of the establishment. And yet Jesus reaches out to them, and the Christians reach out to them. And why does a load of people who are part of the establishment, wealthy and famous and powerful, it was like a 50-50 thing. There was such a new community being birthed on the face of the earth, where you had people from all different backgrounds in life, and together they became one. Can I submit to you? It's happening today as well. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's happening in churches like this, all over Ireland and all over the world, where you have people who are from the establishment and those who very much are not. And the tanner was one of those. And for those of you, I'm not going into it today, but this is what happened, because it was revolutionary in Acts chapter 9 and 10. Peter's spiritual journey is such that he was in Simon the tanner's house. God gave him a vision, and it basically said there's no more separation between Jews and non-Jews or Gentiles. Everyone is equal. There's nothing else unclean. Just after he had that vision, there's a knock on the door. A man just up the coast in the next town of Caesarea called Cornelius, a Roman centurion, also had a vision where the Lord said, "Send men to the house of Simon the tanner." And they said, "Peter, our master said God has called you to his house." Peter knew straight away it was the Lord. He goes up there and he goes into the Gentile's home. And as soon as a Jew did that, it was like revolutionary. No Jew worth his salt would go into a Roman's home. And so Peter changed history, changed the whole trajectory of the Christian church. Now, all of that is a bit of teaching to bring me to my point. Here is Peter in the town of Joppa. He's famous. Everybody wants a bit of Peter. No dinner party was complete without Peter the Apostle coming in. Because if you were sick, if you're even dead, there was hope that this man would bring the power of God with him and pray for you in the name of Jesus. Remember, there was no hospitals or anything back then. So why on earth did Peter stay in Simon the tanner's house? He was the toast of the town. He could have his pick of properties. He could have stayed in a villa on the Mediterranean coast. Everyone wanted Peter. Why did he stay with a tanner? Here's my thought. It was the jump before the jump. You see, no one just jumps or leaps without something happening beforehand. Before anyone jumps, they start getting ready. They start getting prepared. And Peter staying in a tanner's house, and other stuff even before that, is God preparing his heart before the big jump of going into a Gentile's home and changing everything. This is huge. But God was preparing him. I'm looking for a couple of volunteers. Can I have 4 or 5 volunteers who are ready to jump off the stage? It's very simple. Who's going to do it? It's gas. At the last meeting, there was a load of youngsters, and they were just sitting down. And then the older people got up and jumped off the stage. Can we have a couple of volunteers? It's not a trick. Who have we got? This is Max.
No. Leo.
Leo, sorry, Leo. This is Chris. Who else have we got? Come on, Jerry. This is Jerry. And we've got John. Let's have one more. Who else is reading? Any of the girls? Ladies don't jump. Yes, they do. Any girls? Here we have. Who have we got? Romeo. Okay, that's okay. Romeo. And we've Christian as well. Are you joining in, Christian?
Yeah.
Okay. No. If you're going to jump, you're not just going to walk out and fall, are you? You're going to get ready to jump. So let's get ready to jump. You got to position yourself the right way. And Jerry, you can't have the newspaper in your hand and your hands behind your back. Are we out of that? I'm going to read that newspaper now and I'm going to make sure it's all okay for you, all right? Okay, are we ready? Are we ready to jump? You got to do it like this. Okay, we're going to start with Jerry, then Chris, then Christian, and right the way down. One, two, three, Jerry, go! Chris, go! Christian, that's it, go! John, Romeo, give me a round of applause! Give me that newspaper back. Give me that back. Why is that important? If God is going to bring a change in your life over the coming weeks, maybe it's in August, maybe it's in September, but if God is going to bring a change in your life, it doesn't just drop out of the sky. Usually, a bit like Peter, he'll start preparing. And something will start changing. And there are some of us here today, and we know that we know that we know something is shifting inside in us. And you've got to say today, and I'm going to give you the opportunity in a little bit. You've got to say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready because I trust you. Peter was just like that. He was ready and he took the jump. Let's look at one other guy briefly. This is a guy in the Old Testament. And his name was Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. Now, if you know about this guy, you know what? He was what we call in Cork a Moaning Mary. He was always moaning. I remember I had an aunt. And she never stopped moaning. She was always moaning. You'd say, isn't it a lovely day? Very hot today. Oh, isn't it a nice soft day? There's a bit of rain. I hate the rain. Oh, that's a beautiful meal. Oh, no, it was too rich for me. There was always something wrong. You don't want to hang around with someone like that. They suck the life out of you. Okay, I got that off my chest now.
I'm sorry, Tom, I'll never do it again.
Okay, Michael, you get the message. I will not work with you again, you moaning Mary. You see, I don't go to a counselor or a shrink at all. I just get it off all off my chest here to you. You guys are my counselors and my shrinks. Okay. I am free. Jonah was a prophet. And God spoke to him. Many of you know the story. For those who don't, the word of the Lord came to him. And the Lord said, go to the great city of Nineveh. Call on them to repent. But Jonah went to Joppa. Found a ship going to Tarshish. And so he ran away from the Lord. Now I like my maps. And if you go, God, that fella, if he throws up another map, tough, you got to deal with it. So here is Joppa. Sorry, now, Christine, I did put on my deodorant this morning. There's Joppa, there's Nineveh over there, but he goes all the ways across here. And he wants to go all the ways up to Tarshish. Can you see it down the back? Look at the distance. It's about three times longer to go to Tarshish. Now, the modern day Tarshish is known as Cadiz. That's the city in Spain. But you got to say it like you got a lisp. That's how they pronounce it. Say Cadiz.
Cadiz.
Okay, very good. If you come from Latin America, you don't do the lisp thing, but they do it in Spain. So God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, but he doesn't. He goes to Joppa, big port, and he gets the ship to Tarshish. You got to go through the Straits of Gibraltar to get to it. So it was almost the ends of the earth. But of course it wasn't really, because Ireland was the ends of the earth. The Romans called Ireland Ultima Thule, the ends of the earth, because after Ireland, you fell off. Because the world was flat, you see. And if you believe in the flat earth, just go away, all right? You fell off after Ireland. They never knew there was America across the ocean. So that was kind of almost the ends of the earth. So what was going on? Okay. Jonah runs away, but God sent a storm in his life. And you might say, I don't believe God sends storms. Yes, he does. I don't believe I have trouble from God. You can have. If you or I are running away from God, he loves you so much. The Bible calls him a jealous lover, a jealous God. He will come after you to try and get you back. Why? To give you hassle? Or to give you life? To rescue you from yourself. God rescued me from myself. Would anyone say the same?
Yes. Yes.
Did God rescue you from yourself?
Yes.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He rescued you from yourself. He rescued me from myself. So he gets the storm. God is trying to rescue him. He gets rejected by everyone on the ship. Talk about Mr. Popular. He ends up being thrown overboard. He goes into the belly of a whale. Now you might go, oh, this is such a fairy tale. I'm having that. Scientifically, it's proven. With certain types of whales, you can be swallowed as a human being and survive for a couple of days. And that's exactly what happened to him until he was vomited out. Forgive the graphic word. Why? Because he repented. He was going in one direction. Come back and go in the direction I'm calling you. Do you hear the word of the Lord in that? We're going, some of us, in the wrong direction. We're going away from what God has called us. And God is saying, do you want me to send a storm in your life? Do you want to end up being rejected by everyone? I'm going to rescue you from yourself. And so God calls him back, and Jonah repents, and he does what he was called to do. You know, I do have a bit of sympathy for him. See, Jonah was afraid. The prophet Nahum in chapter 3 tells us the people of Nineveh were evil and wicked. They were dangerous. Not only that, they were known as the Assyrians, and they were the enemies of the Jews back then. So he had no kind of sympathy. They were the enemy. And yet God called him, like he called Peter. Peter, you Jew, you're the one who's under the Romans. The Romans are your masters. They're bleeding you dry with tacks. They're ruling over you. They can cut your throat in 2 seconds. I want you to bless them. Jonah, I want you to go to your enemy and bless them. I'm not comfortable with that, Lord. Aren't you? Deal with it. Because God calls us out of the comfort zone. That's what separates the real people of faith from those who are only playing a game. But we're not playing a game. We've got real faith. Would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm not judging anyone here. You might go, Thomas, trying to get at me. I'm not. I have no one in mind. Honestly, yes, God is my judge. I don't have anyone in mind. Maybe myself. God wants us to have real faith. Sometimes real faith is going outside what we're comfortable with. And that's what happened to both of these. You know what Jonah's problem was? Unlike Peter, Jonah was looking at it naturally. He wasn't looking at his future spiritually. We gotta look. You and I have to look at our future with spiritual eyes, not just with physical eyes. Sometimes what makes sense practically doesn't make any sense spiritually.
Yeah.
Can I quote the scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. Jonah was walking by sight, but Peter was walking by faith. Peter, come and stay in my beautiful villa by the sea. No, I'm going to stay over here with the dead animal fella in his house. Smelly Willy, he's known as. I'm going to stay in his house. That's what it was like. Peter was walking by faith because he knew God was stirring. So both of these guys have a Joppa jump. Both of them jumped into a decision in Joppa, but they went in two different directions. And my prayer today is that you and I jump the right way.
Amen.
Let me give you one more quote. I love this guy. He was a pastor, theologian, and author over in the UK. John Stott is his name. He died about just over 12 years ago. He said, our Christian life did not begin with our decision to follow Jesus, but with God calling us to do so. Here's the big truth. I called out to the Lord, invited him into my life. I was born again. I'll never forget it. It was a Monday evening in a house in Ballyfrihan at a meeting. It was the 28th of April, 1980. I was 19, and I called on the name of the Lord. The thing is, in all my Bibles, I write that in the front. The day I became a Christian, the day I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues, the day I went under the waters of baptism by immersion, I write all that in every Bible I've ever had. The thing is, something began way before when I was born again, because I can look back to about 2 or 3 years previous, and that's really when it began. And some of you know my story. I remember my mother got a brain tumor. I kind of said, there's no God. But when she got sick and we loved our mum, I remember thinking, I'm going to have to start praying here. That's when God started calling me. I started praying. I didn't know how to pray. I got a loan of a Bible. I didn't know what I was reading, but that was the beginning of my journey. So it wasn't the 28th of April, 1980. It was more like, I can't remember, it was like April 1978 or something. It was a couple of years before that, that God started calling me. Tom, he calls us by name. He was calling me. I didn't hear a voice, but my circumstances were bringing me close to God. Have you been through the mill? Has life been hard? God is trying to get your attention and he's calling you. And in a moment, we're going to give the opportunity for anyone who hasn't called on the Lord before, or for anyone who maybe has lost their way a bit and they want to come back to him, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that in privacy in a moment. Brothers and sisters, we need to jump the right way by faith. The band, if you could come up. I've asked the guys to sing that beautiful song, Praise. I love where it says, I praise when I'm sure and I praise when I'm doubting. It doesn't matter about the doubts. If deep down you know, God is doing something in me and I know he's getting me ready to make a decision. It might be a relationship or with a job or a house or a ministry or your health or something in your family. I don't know, God knows. But if you know God is calling you, can I suggest and submit to you that when he starts calling you, you will, like Peter, start moving. You get uncomfortable in Jerusalem. You decide to stay with a tanner, not literally, but you know what I mean, figuratively. And then there'll be the big thing when you go into the house of Cornelius the Roman. Could you stand with me, brothers and sisters? We're going to sing it, and then I'm going to do a call for prayer for those who want to get right with God, for those who want to come up to the top after that. But let's sing it. Michael.
I praise in the valley, I praise on the mountain. Woo! I praise when I'm sure, I praise when I'm doubting. I praise when I'm outnumbered, I praise when surrounded.
Opportunity to make their peace with God, to connect again with him. We're going to ask everyone on stage and off stage to close their eyes. And if you want to invite Jesus into your life and start this adventure with God, you've never made that decision before, and you might have doubts, everyone has doubts, particularly at the start. Or maybe you've drifted away from God and you're saying, God, here I am today, I want to connect fully again with you. In total privacy, nobody can see anything, and all I can see are shadows. I can't see your faces. I'm going to ask you to just lift up a hand in total privacy, and you're saying, here I am, Lord. Okay, see your hand, your hand, your hand, yours, yours. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, see it down the back. Okay, I think we've got 8, 9 people. Okay, praise God. So I'm going to say this prayer, and I'm going to invite you to say the prayer with me, not just the 8 or 9 who put up their hands. Let's all do it in solidarity together. Are you up for that?
Yes.
Do you know what happens on days like this? The angels in heaven rejoice when even one person turns to God from their old way of life, because their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Just like little Moya, when she was born, her name was written in the register of births as a citizen of Ireland. Well, when you ask Jesus into your life, you become a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. And the angels rejoice. So, if let's say it together, if you could repeat after me. Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I invite you into my life. Will you be my leader? My Savior, my friend, I turn from my old ways. Forgive me my sins. I want to follow you all the days of my life. Give me the strength, Lord, to be called a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. We give these 8 or 9 guys a round of applause. Well done. We've got a lot of different books about next steps. We'd love to give you one if you'd like it. We're here every week, and if you'd like them, they're all for free. Now, I want to do 2 more prayers. First prayer is some of us, and this is prophetic, your fear about that person is robbing you of your peace, and it's stealing your future. And God is saying, don't be like Jonah. Allow fear to have you go the opposite way. Fear is a trap. Faith is God's gift. So again, just where you stand, I'm not calling you up for this. If that's you, would you lift up your hand just wherever you are? God is going to we're just going to pray delivery from fear. Praise God. May the Holy Spirit come upon you and may God speak words of truth into the lie that person has some kind of unhealthy power over you. We pray deliverance, we'll say amen. We pray faith instead of fear, and we pray God will give you back your future and your destiny, and that you won't be a victim, you will be a victor in the name of Jesus. And God's people say
amen.
One more prayer request, and for this I'm going to ask those of you who wanted to come up, and that is, you know, God is stirring your heart. I don't know what the future is, whether it's personal or spiritual or to do with work or study or whatever, but you just know God is preparing you, and the Lord wants you today to simply say, here I am, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. I know you're doing and you're preparing me. Just like you prepared Peter in Jerusalem and in the home of Simon the Tanner. If that's you, would you lift up your hand? And you're saying, you're ready to say, here I am, Lord. That's it, lift your hands up high. I see the hands going up all over. We're going to sing the song Praise. And as we sing it, I'm going to invite you up to the top, because we want to pray the Holy Spirit into your soul so that God will bless you when you're ready to make the move. Like that.
Praise is the water.
you're trying to come up, I'd love those people in a queue there, just come forward. Can we lift our hands to the living God? Now I want you to think, what's your situation? What's the blockage? What's the hope? You know stuff is going on and you can't quite understand why. But I know the Holy Spirit is saying, God is preparing you because he wants to do something wonderful. The enemy will tell you this is awful, but God is saying, I want to do something wonderful in your life. So we lift our hands up to heaven, and I'm going to ask you with a cry of faith to say these words in just a moment. The words are, here I am, Lord. And I'm going to ask you to say that out loud as a declaration of faith. And as you say, God is saying to you, don't be afraid, I've got this. You're okay because I am with you. I am for you. I am not against you. You are the head. You are not the tail. You are not forgotten. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So lift up our hands and I want you to declare it to the Lord. And the words again are, here I am, Lord. And by saying that, you're putting your trust in God. Okay. One, two, three.
Here I am, Lord.
How about we say it even a bit louder? Let's do it again. One, two, three.
Here I am, Lord.
God, hear the prayers of your people. God, part of us just doesn't understand. But because of our faith in you, we will rest in you. We know you've got this, Lord. And so we say, Lord, would you calm our hearts and would you put an excitement and a spirit of adventure in us, because we're willing to stay in Simon's house and we're willing to go up to Cornelius' house, because we know whatever you've planned for us will bring life and will not bring death. So come, Holy Spirit. Josh, this is what the Lord would say to you. And I'm like a gardener in your life, and you have seen and felt the pruning of the Lord, branches and overgrowth cut back, and it has been painful for you. But the Lord is saying, I have been preparing you, and you are now at a place, says the Lord, where you have been cut, you have been trimmed, and you are at your best. So get ready, because the wind of the Holy Spirit is going to blow through your life. Every window and door in your soul will be opened, and you will be amazed and overwhelmed in a wonderful way at the move of the Holy Spirit coming into your life. So the Lord would say, do not despise the times of chastisement, because what father who loves his son does not discipline him? Everyone who loves me is disciplined, but you have been trimmed, you have been disciplined, and now the blessing is about to be poured upon you. So get ready, said the Lord. Be ready to wake up in the middle of the night. Be ready to sense and see something when you're lost in your work during the day. Your God is about to do something wonderful, and the floodgates, yes, the floodgates will be open into your experience. And this is what the Lord would say in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God is going to do something miraculous as well, in a legal way. In a legal way. And just the scripture of Jesus was meant to pay a tax to Caesar. And you know the story. A fish came with a coin in his mouth. And God is saying, just like Jesus and Peter saw the miracle, as it were, God is going to do a miracle. So if it's a legal situation, just lift up both your hands up high. We're just going to pray. Holy Spirit, move legally, oh God. Change this situation. Come, Holy Spirit, move in your power and in your might, and let the doors that need to open legally be open now in Jesus' name. What man says no, you say yes. Slowly break, release. Holy Spirit, move and send your people the blessing from heaven that right now seems impossible. Come and move, O God. We have a little bit of faith. It might be like a mustard seed, but here it is, God. Move in power and do something wonderful. Thank you for the preparation this far. But here we are, Lord. We have faith in you. Move now legally and open the door. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people say, amen.